Do you know that having your name in heaven is the most important thing in your life? It says in Revelation 20:15, anyone not found written, their name not written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. What a horrible word.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Greetings, and thank you for tuning in for Love Never Fails. Pastor's study in the New Testament epistle of Hebrews continues today. Now, as we've studied the faith of the patriarchs, we see they endured as they looked ahead to the city God was preparing for them. One way to lay hold of God's grace is to look ahead by faith to the wonderful future He has prepared for us. Let's join Pastor now with today's message, God's Final Warning.
You know, it just seems like yesterday we started this letter, if you will, this book, this word of exhortation to the first century Jewish believers there in Jerusalem. And the temple is still standing and sacrifices are still being offered. And the last high priest, believe it or not, is there still at the temple. You know, as we enter into these verses this morning, there are five warnings in Hebrews. This morning is the fifth and last warning addressed to Jewish believers and to every generation. And so this morning we're going to talk about God's final warning. We know that, as we've already learned, that if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, no matter if it was the first century or if it is today, or even if it was in the old covenant, there is only one way for a believer in Jesus Christ to live. The just shall live by faith. There's absolutely no other way. We've learned that, and that's why I've repeated it over and over again. And so we know that if we draw back from faith, like the Bible says in Hebrews 10:38 and 39, we know that God says, my soul doesn't delight in that. If you draw back from believing in me and trusting in me and believing in the promises that I cannot lie, he says, it disturbs me. But then the writer goes on and he says, but we are not those who draw back to perdition or to destruction, but those who go on to the believing of the soul, meaning by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, with all of that being said this morning, these verses are incredible, and let me tell you why. Well, number one, these verses are over the top, as I told the early service, over the top Jewish, okay? And I mean, it is beautiful the way he has put everything together. So the writer does something now, and with the Jewish believers, they got it. They understand it in a better way, really, than we do. And what he does, he puts together a brilliant, unbelievable contrast, okay? In other words, with Mount Sinai, the old covenant, the law, and he contrasts it with Mount Sinai in heaven and grace, the new covenant. You follow me? There are seven descriptions that we're going to see under the old covenant with Mount Sinai, and then there are seven descriptions given about the heavenly city, Mount Zion. And so we have those that are addressed, those that are the position under the law, and those that are under grace, okay? Two key verses that I want you to remember is verse 18 and verse 22. In verse 18, it says, but you have not come. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to believers. He says, you have not come. And then in verse 22, he does another contrast, but you have come. Speaking of the two different mountains that are there. Now listen carefully. Later on, you need to go back and read Exodus chapter 19, I think, probably beginning in verse 10, and also a little bit of Exodus chapter 20, because the first verses that we cover now, that is the background of what we're about to read and study. So if we went back to Exodus chapter 19, beginning in verse 10 and following, we would find that it's where God gives the law, the giving of the law to Moses. There, he's on Mount Sinai, and the throne of God, if you will, the angels, the myriads of angels, boy, they come down, they settle on that mountain, And man, there's thundering and lightning and all the rest of it, which we will see in just a moment. So with all that being said, let's begin this morning looking at the final warning here in this great epistle, the book of Hebrews. He writes and he says, "For you," meaning the Jewish believers, all believers, okay, "for you have not come to the mountain," meaning Sinai, "that may be touched." Now, you know what happens. If you read Exodus 19, you know that God says, don't anyone touch that mountain, not even a beast, okay? You're going to be shot. In other words, you're going to die. So he says, "You've not come to Mount Sinai that may be touched, and that burned with fire and its blackness and darkness and tempest," all these descriptions, "and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words." Now, it doesn't say that you see God, because God is hidden in the old covenant here, okay? And so the voice of words, so that those who heard it, look what they did, they begged that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. That's just a normal day, isn't it? It happens every day here, right? No. Listen, Moses had assembled all the children of Israel at the foot of Mount Sinai. And then as God was coming down, his throne was coming down to rest, if you will, upon that mountain, man smoked and thunder, lightnings, storms. It was just unbelievable. And it says that a fire came down and set there upon it in Exodus chapter 19. And the trumpet, obviously, an angel was blowing the trumpet, because whenever God comes down in his throne, are the cherubim still with him? Amen? Absolutely. They go everywhere with the Father. Now, with all that being said, the trumpet grew louder and louder and louder and louder. Finally, all of the people, they started trembling. And even Moses, man, he was trembling as well. And listen to what Moses said in Deuteronomy 4:21. It says, "And so terrifying was the sight that Moses said," so the presence of the Shekinah glory of God upon the mountain, it says, "so terrifying," Moses said, "I am exceedingly afraid and trembling." It says there again, the voice of words that were so terrifying, they begged Moses to ask God not to talk anymore. Let me give you the scripture, Exodus 20, verse 19. "And then they," the children of Israel, "said to Moses, 'You speak with us. Oh, we will hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die.'" Can you imagine being at the foot of Mount Sinai, and you see what other people have never seen, the Shekinah glory, the manifested presence of God in the thunder, in the lightning, in the cloud, in the smoke, in the myriads of angels, in the fire that was present. And then you hear not, you see no one, but you hear a voice. You hear the voice of Almighty God. Do you understand? Listen, the Bible says, I believe, I may be wrong, I think it's Psalm 19. It says that the voice of God is that of many waters. I mean, it's just, can you imagine all the waters of the earth just flowing? And whatever happened that scared them, literally, they wanted to die from fright. Now listen very carefully. They could not endure what was commanded. What did God command to the children of Israel on Mount Sinai? Remember the first? The Ten Commandments. In other words, what he commanded, no one could keep. Amen? Only Jesus Christ kept that. So the law, he was giving the law. The law says do. Does the law says I'm going to help you? Is the law going to save you? No, law can't save you. It can't impart righteousness. It can only tell you, hey, you have sinned and I can't help you. You're just a dirty sinner, okay? There you go. No, but grace says done. Amen? Now, with all that being said, verse 18 says, "For we have not," we're Christians, we're believers, Jewish believers are us, it doesn't matter. "We have not come to Mount Sinai," our earthly Mount Sinai. You know, listen to me now. If you were an Old Covenant Jew, could you touch the mountain? No. Could you see God? No. Did you have access to God? No, not at all. You had to have a high priest. The mountain wasn't touchable. It was a place of horrible fear. And like I said, the temple was still standing, so he's really pounding this into their hearts. And now let's go to Mount Zion and look at these seven descriptions, or these seven glorious blessings. And I want you to think about something. You're running a race. They were running a race, the race of faith. And one day that race is going to end. Amen? And you know what? So what the writer is doing, he's giving us a glimpse of when that race is over, what we're going to enter into and what we're going to see. It says, but you have come. You've not come to Mount Sinai, that earthly, You have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. Listen, you have come to the mountain of the new covenant. So the first, number one, there's seven descriptions. So the first one is Mount Zion. Listen, what is God saying? He said, you can't come to Mount Sinai. You can't come near. But boy, to Mount Zion, you can draw near because you have access to God. You see, Rome had already occupied Jerusalem in the first century. And so we know that Titus is going to destroy and just destroy Jerusalem, level the temple. Everything is going to be completely wiped out. But you know what the author is saying? He's saying, okay, that may be gone, and it was gone. But the heavenly Jerusalem, it will endure forever and ever and ever. Amen? And that's what he's bringing across right now. The heavenly Jerusalem. Remember Abraham? That's the city of Abraham, in a sense that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, man, there they were. They traveled all over. They were living in tents and so forth. But they were looking, it says, for a city. Let me give you the scripture, Hebrews 11:10. It says, they waited. He waited. Abraham, he waited, or he looked for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Boy, can you imagine what that's going to be like? Angels didn't build it. Man didn't lay one stone. God is the architect and God is the builder, and this city is for us. Can you believe that? Think about that for a moment. I say, dear Lord, the city has foundations, and let me tell you something. Whatever God lays is a sure foundation. Amen? No one can remove it. No one can remove anything God has done. So Abraham, he saw that city while he was on earth. He saw, well, faith looks to the eternity. Always does. In matter of fact, it says in Hebrews 11:16, talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but they long for a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Why? He has prepared a city for them, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Did you know that one day, and you will see it, I will see it, one day, Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of God. Do you know that one day it will be the joy of the entire earth? It isn't that way now. Let me give you the scripture, Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation. Here it comes. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. One day, Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city, is going to be the capital of the universe. Amen? They're in the kingdom age. And it says, and you know why there's great joy there? Let me read it. It says, because it's the city of the great king, for God is in her palaces. Look at the second description now. For you've come to the city of the living God. Isn't that easy to read? Would anyone like to come up here and describe what that city looks like? You see what I mean? You know, we've come to it. Okay, we've come to the city of the living God. I mean, how can we even imagine that? How do you even teach that? Everything, loved one, listen, let's look at us right now. Everything we have, everything that we are going to have will be found not here, but on the other side in heaven. Did you know that? Where we've laid our treasures up in heaven. Our home is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven. Oh, loved one, man, listen, our reward, is here? No, our reward is in, it's in that heavenly city. Everything we have is there. And listen, when we get there, listen to what's going to happen. Revelation 21:3, and John says, oh, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell, or pitch his tent, he will dwell with them. and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Man, listen, when we come to the city of God, God himself, he will be right there with us. How do you even describe a moment like that? What kind of city is it going to really be? Listen, you're running the race of faith. One day we're going there, loved one. If the rapture occurred, we're going to get there quicker. Amen? Let me give you a little bit about the city we're going to, because it's a city of no mores. Revelation 21:4, it says, "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There'll be no more death, no sorrow, no crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Then he who sat upon the throne, that's our Lord, he said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said to me, meaning to John, "Write these things, for they are true and they are faithful." Listen, when we get home, you see the author, what is he doing? He's telling these Jewish believers, listen, do you want the law? Do you want Mount Sinai? You can't touch it. You can't enjoy it. It's a place of trembling, and you've got to keep the law that you could never keep. Or do you want this kind of city that I'm describing? I think I want the city, don't you? Boy, I go, oh, dear Lord. I mean, think about it. We've come to a city of no more death. The Bible says that death is the last enemy, and that it's the last enemy to be destroyed. Thank God for that. But no more death. Isn't that wonderful? In other words, there'll never be an undertaker in heaven. No sympathy cards. No flowers. Oh, well, there'll be flowers, but not, you know what I mean. No undertakers. There's not going to be any funeral homes in heaven. You know, Peter's funeral home. No, it's not going to work. No funeral, no caskets. Oh, I think, dear Lord, not only that, no more tears. Tears will be evaporated from your vocabulary. How's that sound? And it says, no more crying. A place where you will never cry again. Do you understand? You will never, ever, 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 ever shed a tear. That is the city that you and I, that's where we are running to right now. And then it says, no pain of any kind. I can go for that. I could use it right now. No pain of any kind. No doctors. Well, maybe except for Dr. Luke, right? You know, you got to have Luke there. No sickness, no disease, no sorrow of any kind. None. There will never, ever, ever be a broken heart in the city of God. Do you understand? That is where you're going. That's where we're running to right this very minute. And let me tell you something else about the city of the living God, this Mount Zion, the places where we're going to. It says in Revelation 21:2, then John says, oh, I saw it. I saw the new Jerusalem. It was coming down out of heaven. And listen to what he calls it. He said, it's a holy city. Forever free, oh, loved one, from sin. Everything and everyone in that city, it's holy. I'm telling you what, even the trees are holy. Do you understand? It's a holy, holy, holy place. And listen, let me give you some more. Revelation 21:22. He writes and he says, I saw no temple in it, in the city of the living God, the New Jerusalem. He said, there's no temple there. Why? Well, the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. There's a deep teaching in that, a deep teaching. And he says, the city, John says, it had no need of sun. It had no need of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated. The Lamb is its light. And then he says in chapter 22, verse 5 of Revelation, he says, and there will be no night there. No night. Whatever night really is. Do you understand? There's no more night there. He says, you're not going to need a lamp. You're not going to need the light of the sun. Why? For the Lord God gives them light. And listen to this part. And they, us, all the redeemed, they shall reign. What a word is that? They shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever. And guess what we're going to see when we get there? Let's look at the third description. We've come to an innumerable company of what? Angels. Anybody ever seen an angel? The Bible says in Hebrews 1:14 that they've helped us in our lives to help and minister to the heirs of salvation. And we're going to learn next time when we get to chapter 13, I think it's verse 2, he writes, says, listen, you have unwittingly entertained angels. You know, think about that. Man, but what I want you to see, two things. Number one, they're uncountable. The word innumerable. You just can't count them. But the second thing I want you to see is that word company. You have come to an innumerable company of angels. The word company means literally this, angels in festive assembly. In other words, there's a worship going on. See, we think we really worship and we do as much as we can, but when we get there, we're going to worship. Do you understand? It's going to be a worship session like you have never experienced in your entire life. Man, can I give you an example of that? Here comes Revelation 5:11. John says, "Oh, I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. Oh, the living creatures, the elders, the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands and thousands." Is that a lot of angels? That means it's uncountable. And listen to what they were all saying. Can you imagine thousands? Millions, billions, I don't know. And they were all saying with a loud voice, "Heaven is a loud place." Don't ever say, "The music is a little too loud at Calvary." You know, "This is a wild place. Just look at this place. Your drummer, you put him in a cage. It's such a scary place, you know." No. Where was I? Oh, all these angels millions, billions, a loud voice. And here's what they were singing. "Oh, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing." Now listen very carefully. "And every creature which is in heaven." Can you imagine what it's going to be like? Every creature in heaven, on the earth, under the earth, and such that are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying or praising, "Oh, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever and ever." Listen to me now. That is a worship session. No. Listen. Every created being in God's creation is worshiping. I can't even fathom that. And they are in context. Why are they celebrating? You know what happens right after that? If you read the book of Revelation at the end of chapter 5, the judgment of the world, God's judgment comes upon it. That's when all hell breaks loose, loved one. Now, watch this. Look at it again. Look at the fourth description. Not only have we come to an innumerable company of angels when we arrive, but we've come to the general assembly. Literally, it would translate this way. You have come to the joyful assembly. Only in the Greek here, it's only found right here in the New Testament. So they're already in heaven, and they are already celebrating. They are already worshiping. And not only that, we've come to the church of the firstborn. Now, whether that means the firstborn of Israel, whether it means the firstborn of the Christian, the new birth, let's just look at it this way. Can we just call it all of the redeemed? Because whoever is saved, they're in heaven, aren't they? Amen. So a lot of things are going on. Now, let me ask you a question. How in the world did all of those people get to heaven? There's only one way. Remember? Hebrews 10:38. Faith. The just shall live by faith. And that's how we do it. Now, watch this. Not only to the general assembly, but let's look at the next one. We've come to those who are registered in heaven. That means their names are in heaven. Do you remember when, in Luke's gospel, when Jesus gave power and authority unto the 70 who went out healing the sick and casting out demons and raising the dead or whatever? And boy, they came back unto the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, even the demons, they are subject to us in your name." And then in Luke's gospel, chapter 10, verse 20, what did Jesus say? He said, "Listen, don't rejoice that the spirits or the demons are subject to you, but rejoice in this, that your names are written in heaven." Think about that. Did you know that if you are in Christ Jesus, if Jesus is your Lord, do you know right now in the city of the living God, your name is written there?
Once again, we're out of time, but please don't miss tomorrow's broadcast to hear the conclusion of God's Final Warning. Thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.